As we started last week looking at the creation of the heavens and earth, there's a lot of theories on the existence and age of the world, but all theories have changed with time and been proven wrong. And as they try to call them a science, let me remind you, they're not a science. They're a theory. A science has to be reproduced and observed, neither of which they can do. And we talked about that some last week. And challenge, if you weren't here last week, you can always check out the message because it was quite a setup for this series. It'll be on Facebook for 30 days from last week. The live streams get deleted after that. But our website will have it for quite a while. There's only one truth about creation that can be reliable, that has never changed, that we can trust, and that's a biblical creation. It was described to us by the one that was present and observed its creation. The one who spoke it into existence, the one who has told us exactly how it will end. The one that also calls himself the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, this truth allows us to understand what we see today. When we start to understand Genesis and the creation, we understand a lot of what we see today, maybe the beauty that comes with this earth that we can see, how man came to be, where life began. But through biblical creation, we also see why there is disease, hurt, suffering, and death. And we're going to get there within the next couple weeks. We see why there's violence today, and there's theft, and there's immorality. There's wars. And we want to get into these things today looking at the creation, or some would say the recreation of the world. Again, last week speaks why we would say the recreation. And God never tried to convince us. That's what we started out with yesterday as we looked in verse 1. God never tried to convince us of his existence or that he was. He simply introduces himself to us. In the beginning, God. And then we saw that the creator of the universe, the Godhead, the Trinity, was all there at creation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He created time, space, and matter. He created the heavens as the earth as we know it. He is the light to where it has no darkness within him. He gave the earth purpose to be inhabited. He did so for his pleasure. He created you for his pleasure. Want to feel special? God created you so he could enjoy fellowship with you. You are a special creation. He actually calls us his masterpiece. We're the only part of creation was created in his image. But that's for another day. We'll look at that probably next week. And he did this creation to reveal his glory, his power. But through it, he shows his love for man by how he started out even providing in creation. And we saw that the Holy God cast Satan out of heaven. All this was last week. He cast Satan out of heaven as a proud angel because his pride condemned him. And he fell like lightning, setting up his throne on earth, bringing catastrophe, bringing darkness, bringing emptiness to what God had created. But a good and loving God now restores the world in a creation that we're going to look at. And so starting in Genesis 1, I hope you got your Bibles open. Let's look at God's Word, not what I have to say, but what God has to say. We're going to start where we started last week, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for all you do for us, even creating a beautiful, sinless place for us to walk, for us to enjoy. And in spite of our fall, sending a holy Creator, a holy Savior, to restore our relationship with you. Lord, I ask that you'd speak today. You give me the words to say, that each one of us would be encouraged and challenged from your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, last week we saw God's perfect creation in verse 1. Then we saw Satan bring catastrophe, something that would not have been here. Darkness and destruction as he was cast out. And then God came to restore what Satan had hurt. Doing it in how many days? Someone said it. Don't be shy. How many days did God take? Six. 6 days. And on the seventh, we know, he rested. He enjoyed it. You know, and day one, the first thing we're going to see is day one. If you remember verse 2, after Satan fell out of heaven, he brought darkness all over. We saw that last week. And as God came to restore it in verse 3, he started by brightening the place up. Notice that? He started by brightening things up. He gave light. In verse 3, notice how God did it. And God said. He said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the first recorded words by God. The first recorded words for us to hear. God said. You notice that God started with nothing and he made them beautiful. And this is the fact that we got to understand is that because each part of creation is done the same way. We're going to see that time after time as we walk through this today, that everything done is according to God's word. And God said. So therefore, there's power in simply in his word and giving us his creation. You know, if you remember, according to John chapter 1, who is God's word? This is where things get a little bit weird. He just said, by God's word, because he said, but John 1 tells us who the word is. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And then 14 tells us what happened to the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the word of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. So when God spoke, Jesus Christ acted. The entire Godhead, as we talked about last week, was present here as the Father is speaking. The Son, or the Word, is active. He is the one fulfilling God's promises even today. And then the Holy Spirit is present as he's walking about. But notice here, as God created light, he did not create the darkness. You'll notice in the verse right there, he did not create the darkness. Darkness only came to be because Satan was cast from heaven. He is darkness. He brought darkness to earth. God never created darkness. The scripture we saw last week tells us that God has no darkness in him. Darkness is opposed to the light of God, to the person of God. If you also notice in verse 4, God did not call darkness good. Actually, he condemns darkness all the way through Scripture. Light, he called good. He said it is good. Darkness, he does not. Actually, what happened is he separated day from night. He separated light from dark because they're complete opposites. Throughout Scripture, night is a bad reference. Bad things are to happen in night. He's talking about the darkness, the evil. And in creation, the darkness was not of God, was not created of God. And so we notice here that God gave light. And how did he do that? Do you notice he did it before he gave us the star, moon, the sun, and the sun? Do you notice that? You notice that the sun, moon, and stars weren't created until day 4? down in verse 14, there's no sun, moon, and stars yet, and yet God has already gave light. God, He kind of did things out of order here. You don't know what you're doing. See, why would He do this? How does God give light without giving the sun, moon, and stars, what we get all of our light from? Well, God is light. You remember that through Scripture? He tells us that He is light. So when He created and He separated darkness from light, He's separating the darkness from Himself. In 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Understand, one day He will unmake the world. You say burn it, but He literally, in the Old Testament, says it's going to be done away. There will be no dust from it, no ash from it. It will no longer be in existence. It will be done away. And guess what? When He does that, there will no longer be a sun, moon, and stars. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And listen to what He promised, Revelation 22. And there shall be no light there. No night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. How can God give light when there's no sun? From His own being, from His own character. Around God, there's no darkness at all. In Him is light. And so in the beginning here, He didn't need the sun, moon, and stars. He just gave light from Himself. And He gave the sun, moon, and stars to us later, because we're in a fallen world where there is darkness, where there is evil. But when we are in glory, if you're trusted in Jesus Christ, you place faith in Him, called on Him for salvation, and Christ takes you into glory for all eternity, let me promise this, you'll never see a sun again. You'll never see a moon again. You'll never see stars again. Why? All the light from eternity will come from God Himself. That should make you go, woo-hoo! The power of God, the awesomeness of God, the light of God. That we don't need a sun. He says, that thing, that's just a little ball of fire over there. That He's going to give us the light we need. So in creation, we see that right off the bat. He did not start with sun, moon, stars. I think He's making a point for us. Listen, the light comes from Me. And as we see, He gives us the light that we need, no matter what the darkness in our life. Understand that all the hardship that comes in our life comes because there is darkness in this world. There is sin. There is evil. No matter what darkness or evil you're going through, your hurt, your temptation, your sins, your fears you struggle with, God offers light to us when you walk with Him. In John 12:46, I have come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. Just listen. If you walk with Me, if you're in Me, you place faith in Me, Jesus says, you should not want to be a part of darkness. You should not want to be a part of what the fallen one brings to you. He says, in Me, there is light. You come to Me. And when we walk with Him, God, the light, has come and offered Himself to us, and we no longer have to live in darkness. We don't have to live in sin. The Scripture tells us when you live in sin, it's because you choose to, because you're drawn out by your own lust. When you come to know Christ, you no longer have to live in fear and in darkness, because He gives us a spirit that is not a spirit of fear. We don't have to live in the darkness of hopelessness anymore, because Christ has given us hope. Right? I'm quiet in here. You see, and we see these things in the creation as He starts showing His character and His love. We can live in the light of His Word, knowing that He is faithful to do all that He says He will do. So on day one, we saw that He's going to separate, or He did separate, light and darkness. And then day two, look at day two, verse 6. And God... Oh, it's a whisper. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And I called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Pretty act of God here. Second day. Again, we see how he did this by speaking it into existence. God made the skies obey and the waters obey and submit to him. And the waters that we're familiar with, the ocean, seas, lakes, the waters on the earth, that he placed them where he wanted them. But he also separated another set of waters that would be in the heavens, in the atmospheres, protecting us from the sun rays. You see how God, from the very beginning, starts to offer protection to us and provision to us. You see, and so he offers protection from the sun rays. He gives what we're going to need, that mist. He gives what we're in the future, we would need the rain. He prepares it at creation. We saw that he created the firmaments in verse 6, and he called them, in verse 8, he called them the heavens. You know, as we study through Scripture, we see that there is three different types of heavens we see in Scripture. We see first off the first heaven, the one close here where we enjoy hearing the birds chirp. You might. Is that what they leave dropped on your car that annoys you, right? Y'all are tough today. It's tough. I'm going to have to turn the air conditioner down. There you go, see? I wish God's word would. You see, the first heavens we're familiar with. We hear the birds chirp. The second heavens is what we would think is the high sky, where the sun, moon, and stars were placed. Then our favorite heaven is that third heaven, where it's God's throne room, where worship happens nonstop, where the place one day we will get to see if you're a child of God, if you've called upon his name for salvation. This is the heaven that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 12. He calls it the third heaven. This is the heaven that John visited in the Spirit in Revelation and describes to us in chapter 21 and 22. Is that third heaven? Well, God created the heavens that we know in creation. See, this is the place Jesus speaks of as he makes a promise to you and I. This third heaven, Christ makes a great promise to us that you're familiar with in John 14. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a great promise. That's Christ promising that we will see all the heavens one day. Speaking there to his believers, Jesus said he will return. He will take them to eternity to be in his place if you place faith in him. He not only prepared this world for us, he's also already prepared eternity. He said the mansions are already built, already waiting. Mine's already claimed. Yours? I'd hope you're a little bit more excited about that. That was sneaky, but I hardly saw you. And isn't it funny? We hear people building houses today here on earth, and man, we get close and there's an excitement about moving in. But we talk about the mansions in heaven, and oh, that's cute. It's a good idea. We talk about it so much, sometimes you become numb to it. Think about it. God has prepared a place for you if you're a child of God. Now, there's multiple parts of that line. God prepared it. He's a pretty good architect. I've got the travel parts of this world. It's a pretty cool place. And it's tainted by sin. Heaven isn't. I've read Revelation 21 and 22. He's got a cool place. And to say that I'm invited, that Christ says he's going to take me where he's from, come on, I need a whoop-whoop out there. Come on, K. Karen. Thank you. It sticks when you start. Understand, when Christ makes his promise to us, it's not on a whim. He's already planned this out. We should be prepared and excited that not only did Christ create a beautiful earth for us, he's created a beautiful eternity for us. But we also see in day three. In day three, we see organization and vegetation. Look at verse 9. And God. Oh, that was good. That was getting better. Try it again. And God. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together the waters called seas. And God saw that it was good. You know, again, God spoke. God commanded. And it was. He first separated the waters from the earth, from the waters from the heaven. And here he separates the waters on the land, gathers them together to separate them from ground. And he's making space, getting things ready for humanity. And he gives us beautiful land that he calls earth that some of y'all get to play in a lot this time of the year. And then he gathered waters called seas that some of y'all might go on vacation and get to see pretty soon. I like to go to dive in the waters. Go out to Vern's Pond and have a dive. That God had this planned already. He made it. And God looked at what he had created here. And he recognizes and he says, it is good. Now stop and think about what God's saying when it is good. When a holy, almighty God says it is good, he's not saying, well, that's cute. He is saying, that is perfect. That brings pleasure to the Holy One. He is saying that that fulfills my purpose. And God looks at his creation and says, wow, that's good. And now God makes food for our food. Look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and a fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and a tree yielding fruit, whose seed was after itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. See, now God spoke vegetation into existence. You got to have something to feed the cow that I'm going to have later. You know, I want a steak. Y'all that eat salads, thank you for leaving me more meat. Well, God here creates all the vegetation needed, the beauty here, and he creates it for two reasons. He creates it for beauty, as we see, and we can enjoy, but he creates it for food. So imagine that all of a sudden that the earth has all this green grass covering, flowers, trees that give shade and fruit, trees that give material to build with, plants that give us the needed food. And he planned it all because soon he's going to make man. Soon he's going to place us on the earth. And notice that in his plan, in his sovereignty, his wisdom, that these plants would bring seed so that the cycle of growth could continue. He did not. Now, you know the old joke, well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Now, if you're a believer, you know what came first, because God never created the egg. He didn't create the seed. He created something with age that would create seed, that would put out an egg, right? When he created trees here, he created grass, and he told them to reproduce by giving them seed. Well, notice that each part of his creation, he tells to reproduce. to create more. Because what he created was good. And so God looked at that and he said, that fulfills my purpose. That is good. And on the fourth day, he created his celestial lights. Look at verse 14. And God, good. Don't underestimate that word anytime you hear that God said. God said it, it's his word. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs or for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God sent them into the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. I know that was a mouthful, that was a whole lot there, but God spoke lights into existence. Now the light was already there, but he created something to fulfill his job. He gave us something to protect us from what Satan brought, darkness. And he creates here that we see that first off, he divided the day and night. And he divided that with a great light that was going to rule over the daytime. That's called the sun. Somebody caught it. The sun. The great light, the sun. But then he created a lesser light to rule over the night. That's called the... And then he also created some pretty little things in the heavens called the stars. And it's cool because in his design, he even speaks of them in the book of Job, is he puts these designs within the stars we call constellations. Is that right? It's a big word for me. I'm not good at it. That we like to go, oh, looky there, there's a pen in the sky. There's a big bear. And you can name off the rest. But God placed him there. He organized this. He created beauty in the skies. Do you even know he talks about it in his word? He names some of them off. But see, God placed that there to reflect his beauty, his awesomeness, to give his light. And he gave them the job. And it divided day and night. But also in verse 14, it says, not only that, he gave them for signs and seasons. He gave them as a reminder of things he has done and will do. He gave them for as a reminder to celebrate the feast that he will order, that he will assign. He said he gave us the sun, moon, and stars also to set time. Verse 14, he says the set time. Did you catch that? For the days and the years. Tell we still keep track of time. See you tomorrow. What do you mean? After it gets dark and brightens back up, right? We know. We still count our days by that. You know, in true scripture, these lights represent Jesus Christ. Just simple representation. In John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As light keeps us safe, so we can see where we're walking, we can be guided safely, we can avoid evil and hurt, so does the holiness of Christ. When we walk in him, it protects us from what the darkness wants to do from us, the evil. It protects us from the one that walketh around as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, the scripture tells us. When we walk with the light, we walk with Christ, he protects us from that. But then day 5 comes along. Look at verse 20. And God, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. You see, notice again, by God's word, He created, and He did not create a single cell organism. It's not like this place that had nothing, all of a sudden, poof, some single cell came around, and it started developing and developing and developing into, oh, this human being that has a nervous system, muscular system, a bone structure, right? No. It's not by some big explosion of gases in space. And if I offended you last week by saying the word for the gases, I'm sorry. My wife said, "You said fart in church." Now I did it 2 weeks in a row. And but you see, there was no big explosion in space by some gases that shouldn't have been there because there wasn't a creator. See, this is God's direct command, the one that never had time, never had a beginning, the one that always was. He gave a command to create it, and it happened as He said. And God filled those waters that He created with all kinds of creatures. He placed fish in the waters. Come on, Walter, I'm waiting for it. There we go. He created fish and put them in the waters all over, all kinds of them. Now, it doesn't mean He made a variety of them, but He allowed them to multiply and become different within their kind, within their species, within their family. And he filled them. He even specifies a whale. The whales are in there. He created every creature after its kind, after its family. They didn't evolve and a caterpillar become an elephant, but within its kind. And you know the families. You may have a zebra and a horse and a donkey there in one family, and they can breed between them. If you get a chance to go to the Creation Museum, that's a great place. The Ark Encounter, they have a little zoo there, and they will purposely, they have a zonkey to show that within the family you can breed. The zonkey is a zebra combined with a donkey. They had a zorse. Use your imagination, right? Just showing, listen, and the whole fact of the matter, the reason that's important is that when people want to criticize the ark could never hold the millions of type of animals we have today. It didn't have to. It just had to hold one from each species. One of each, as he says here, of each kind. And then God allowed within their kind to change. You see here, God created within their kind. It's the reason today the fossils of animals are never, we don't find fossils of them caught in between species, because there was not any. God created them as a kind and allowed them within their kinds to change. Same with the birds of the air. He filled the earth or the air with flying animals. Imagine all of a sudden these pretty birds flying around. Also the ugly ones. You know, they could change within their kinds and their families. And understand, even after you created even birds, God said, He looked at it and He thought it was good. You know, so God blessed them and commanded them. Notice He commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. He said, "I like you. You fulfill my purpose. I want more of you. I want you to cover my earth with you." And all male animals said amen. Y'all are asleep today. Understand, that's after day five. We got one more day, which we're going to look at next week. It's the biggest day, but I want you to understand that everything God does is good. Everything God is good. Everything God does is for His purpose, to protect and to provide those that He loves for you and I. That's why King David declared before God in 1 Chronicles 16, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How many times do you just stop to praise God? God, you are good. I thank you for your mercy because I don't deserve your love. I deserve damnation. I deserve your hand of wrath. But because of your mercy, you don't give me what I deserve. You give me your grace and you give me what I don't deserve. And King David cries out, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It's a call to worship. Will you recognize the goodness of God? Throughout all the Psalms, we see verses like, good and upright is the Lord. That's Psalm 25:8. Good and upright is the Lord. In Psalms 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God is good to all. Do you know he's so good that a lot of his goodness even sprinkles out onto the wicked? Yet those that come to him in faith have eternal goodness, have specific goodness, get to walk with him, have hope of eternity. God is good. Even the Gospels, they compare God to a daddy. In Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Think that through a little bit. I'm a sinful man. I depend on God's mercy and his grace daily. And yet, as a sinful man, I love to do good things for my kids. I love to bless my kids as much as I can, to help my kids, to guide my kids, to speak I love to my kids. And if a sinful, evil man as myself loves my kids enough to want to do good for him, how much more does a holy God who does not know how to sin, how much more does he want to do for his children? That's how good God is. God is good. And everything he creates is good. Everything he gives is good. And with that in mind, James tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. James says, listen, he's so good. Anything that comes from him is good. Understand this. The evil does not come from God. He even promises in the book of James, he will not tempt us to evil. He will not cause us to fall. But we have one from darkness wandering the earth, seeking who he may devour, seeking who he may trip up, who he may hurt. And he comes to you, the scripture tells us, as an angel of light, pretending to be good. You've got to evaluate everything in life to God's word to see, is this from God? Is this a blessing from God? Or is this my flesh wanting to pursue it? Is this the power of darkness knowing how to make me fall? As James says, listen, if it's good and perfect, it's from God. That's all he sends. You see, everything God sends has a purpose. To draw us closer to him. To conform us to holiness and to his image that he created us. And allows us to fulfill our purpose that God created us for. And you see, even after Satan brought darkness into the earth, a good God provided what we would need to live and be holy. Even after darkness wandered the earth, God provided everything we needed. He provided light. You know you can't live without light. Without the light, you will die. He created time, sun, moon, and stars. He created beauty all over with vegetation. He gave us food through the vegetation. He's going to give us animals, the good food. We're going to see next week. And then when we still follow darkness, what did he do? He continued to give and give and give. He gives us prophets. He gives us pastors. He gives us churches. He gives us his spirit. He gave us his son to die on a cross for us. Is God good? Yeah. Don't judge God according to circumstances you got yourself into. Don't judge God because of the darkness the evil one brings. God is good, and everything God does, everywhere God draws us to, is good. And let us praise God for His goodness. Let us praise God for who He is. Let us praise God for His mercy that held back what we deserve and offers to us a relationship with Him. Would you stand with me? A good God loves you so much that He offered His Son, Jesus Christ, as a Savior to pardon you of your sins, to pay for your sins, to make you holy and reconcile you to a holy and good God. And if you've never done that, I'd love to show you in God's Word how you can be saved. Anytime. Greatest privilege in life is to show someone in God's Word how you can be saved. Before you leave today, make sure you get that settled. I'd love to show you in God's Word. There's ladies in this church that would love to show you how you can be saved. But let's close today in a song. That great is the Lord.